From the Haunted Attraction Network, this is Marketing Monday, a show about marketing for the themed entertainment and attraction industry. I'm Philip, and today, Tyler and I will be discussing the evolution of Facebook. Founded in 2004, Facebook became the fastest company ever to reach $250 billion in July of 2015, and now 5 accounts are created every single second. Continued growth of this nature is a difficult thing for a business, and Facebook has made many changes to stay relevant. Today, we'll go through some of those changes and what they mean for your attraction. Remember, to receive show notes for this episode and to be notified when future episodes are available, text the code MARKETINGMONDAY to the number 33444. That code again is MARKETINGMONDAY as one word to the number 33444. Well, enough of that. It's time to tackle the evolution of Facebook, and for that, I need my co-host, Tyler.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.
This is Marketing Monday with your lovable, surly, and sometimes eccentric hosts, Tyler and Philip.
All right, Tyler, today's topic, Facebook. Facebook is evolving, so let's talk about the evolutions of Facebook.
Facebook was started in 2004. Users were strictly had to be in college, and only at certain colleges, to join the Facebook. That was the URL at the time. It was created by Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, one of the youngest billionaires of our time. And even in 2004, Facebook had advertising. They were called flyers, and they were these banner-type ads on the side of the page. So even in 2004, Mark Zuckerberg had an advertising marketing plan for Facebook to make money. Now, it wasn't until about, 2006 that the advertising world changed on Facebook. And that's because Microsoft had an awesome bid to become exclusive advertiser for a Facebook platform. Basically, Microsoft came in and said, hey, let us help you create the algorithms and platforms needed to help run your advertising platforms. And then boom, 2008 happened, and business pages all of a sudden pop up. And this allowed users who owned a business to create an official business page. And this obviously was step one in creating an advertising network on Facebook. In 2006 to 2007, it was strictly college kids. And then in 2008, it was opened up to everyone at least, I think it was 13 or 14 years old. And it had a ton of growth. And by 2006, it had 5 million users and $9 million in ad revenue. So from 2006 to 2007, it increased to 50 million users and $153 million in Facebook ad revenue. So we can see a huge growth in the advertising market space for businesses on Facebook. The demographic on Facebook has gotten a little older. Younger kids today that are in the 14, 15, you know, year range, even up to about 20, are really not signing up for Facebook as fast as we did in the good old days of 2006. Now those younger generations are on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. So we come to today, and what do we have? As of June, Facebook has 819 million mobile users. That's monthly active users on Facebook. And that's 51% over last year. Now, when it comes to user count and ad revenue, we are looking at 1.15 billion active Facebook users. And obviously the 819 million active mobile users that attribute to $1.18 billion in ad revenue. But my data is only up to date as of 2014. So, Philip, update me on the current status of Facebook.
So as we had mentioned in the intro that in 2015, Facebook became the fastest company ever to reach $250 billion in worth in July. So that's kind of where we're coming from there. And, you know, Tyler brought up some of the ideas concerning the evolution of the user base, which, you know, you hear a lot about people freaking out about going to other platforms to get younger users and et cetera and et cetera. And Facebook is not blind to the idea, and Facebook's also not blind to their idea of wanting to control the entire internet and kind of build this walled-off area where people just interact on Facebook and don't need to leave it for anything. So while younger users are not signing up as quickly, you know, there are still 5 Facebook accounts being created every second, and with Facebook continually pivoting, which is something that not any of the other social platforms are doing. You know, Facebook is evolving and pivoting in a way that is making it more integral to everyday life in order to capture younger and older audiences and keep them on Facebook longer. And I think it's one of the most interesting social platforms because it is pivoting in such ways. So what we're going to focus on for the rest of the episode is discussing what has changed in Facebook and what the pivot points are. And our purpose in this is a little bit to educate you all out there on what Facebook is offering, because honestly, they have so many changes and they pivot so quickly that sometimes it's difficult to even keep track. So many new things that are happening with Facebook, and some ideas as to how you can capitalize on them with your attraction.
And at the very end, I will jump in. At the very end, I'll jump in and have some predictions for you about the future.
I have some articles here. All of them, of course, are in the show notes as well. So this first statistic is from the Business Insider, from the article that was posted in April of this year, which is entitled Facebook's Scary New World for Media Companies is About One Fundamental Change. And the part of this article that I wanted to illustrate for you is their statistic that 85 cents of each dollar spent on online advertising goes to either Facebook or Google. So that kind of contextually should establish the magnitude of Facebook and Google in this digital online world, is that 85 cents of every online advertising dollar does go to one of those two. And we're also seeing this other trend as of April, which is here in the article, which is the information recently reported that organic sharing of person news on Facebook has been in decline. This means that while Facebook has over 1.5 billion users, it is likely to look not to individuals, but to companies, brands, and celebrities to fill the content gap, which I personally have experienced because I personally just post less about myself and more is a place for aggregating information, which is another stage of Facebook's evolution, which is good and bad for attractions. It's good because it shows that the audience on Facebook is looking for content from companies, brands, and celebrities. It's bad in the sense that you are competing against those other, you know, you are competing against the Kardashians, you're competing against other attractions, you're competing against all these other people. So it's good and bad. But it's important to note that fundamental shift. You know, whereas Instagram, Snapchat, some of these younger platforms are not had that shift yet. Facebook, the shift is already there, where you're looking more towards using it as a place to find information in general instead of sharing personal news. So the next one I'm going to bring up here is from Mandy Scott, which is a very recent one from May 2016. This is from just Scott Monty. It's entitled, Facebook Needs to Make It Easier to Report Stolen Videos. This is a really interesting take on something I had never thought of, but it has become, again, in Facebook's evolution, it's become a problem. And Tyler, I'm sure when you hear this, you'll also think of it as well. Have you seen that video with the woman in the gorilla mask?
Oh my God.
Yeah, okay. So this article is about that, and it's a very good point that the author makes here. I know Facebook has championed, quote, fictionless sharing as part of its user experience mantra. Well, if intellectual property is stolen and uploaded as part of that sharing process, shouldn't frictionless reporting also be on the other end? It's a good point. So he says in here that video that we've probably all seen, nearly 10% of Facebook's total population has seen that video. And his point on here is that that video made across many Facebook profiles and news outlets, and it's become a huge hit with over 125 million views and counting, again, as of earlier this month. So his point here is that a lot of the people sharing the video copied the video and then uploaded it to their links, and that Facebook doesn't actually have a way of easily and frictionlessly reporting stolen content, which is, you know, very interesting and potentially, you know, bad for brands. I mean, on the haunted attraction side, you don't want to be taking other people's content and uploading it. But on the flip side of that, you do want to be aware that the stuff that you share on Facebook, since it has evolved to this point, could potentially be taken by somebody and reused. And the process by which you can argue that is almost non-existent and very difficult. You know, because once you upload your digital asset to Facebook, it's kind of like part of Facebook's, kind of part of their property in a sense. You know, you give them the right to carry it. So,
well, they're running into the same. I mean, this is an issue YouTube has had for forever, and so they're going to have to look at YouTube for the answer to this question and see. Like, this is now. I know you're going to talk about, you know, live video, and this is what the, you know, the lady wearing the Chewbacca mask was. It was a live video on her profile. And the question eventually is going to occur is, when will Facebook start to put advertising before people's live videos? Because one of my predictions for the future is that Facebook will just copy YouTube in the sense that they will run video ads before videos are played on Facebook.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting concept, but I guess, you know, and we'll see where it goes. I guess my main point with this article is part of Facebook's evolution is now the concern that uploading your intellectual property to Facebook means it can get in the hands of other people and they can use it kind of how they want. And there are ways to combat this, but it's not as easy, like Tyler said. It's not as streamlined as YouTube. So be aware of that when we're going through these other things, like the live video, which we're going to get to in a second, and the other elements of Facebook. Be aware of that in the back of your brain, and thinking about, you know, making sure that your videos include branding or et cetera to make it more difficult for them to steal. Okay, so those are some kind of the cultural shifts of Facebook. Now let's talk about the actual new features.
And they are aplenty.
Yeah, since we already brought it up, let's just continue on this line of the Facebook's live video. So I have an excerpt here from the press release from Facebook itself. And it's a pretty simple concept. Facebook has now had the ability to stream live video from your device, from your desktop, from anything that can stream live video with audio. So it's not different in the sense that it's the same thing we've seen with Periscope and with all those other platforms. But what is different are these few things here. So going live on Facebook feels special because you are going live with the people you care about. I'm quoting this, by the way. Today we're rolling out the ability to go live in Facebook groups and in Facebook events. Live in groups allow you to broadcast to just the people in the Facebook group that you are broadcasting from, so you can go live in your family group or share a workout plan in a fitness group. Live in events means you can go live from a birthday party to allow those that can't make it to join the fun, and a performer can go live backstage to the people who've RSVP'd to the event to give them a sneak peek. You can even use events to schedule a live Q&A session. We hope this new ability to both broadcast and watch live videos within groups and events enables people to connect more deeply with their closest friends, family, and the communities of people who share their interests. This is monumental to me for attractions. The idea of you being able to create a group and for your event, or a group or an event, and then go live from it, and even the ideas they give you here, to go live backstage, people who've RSVP'd, this allows you to up the ante on tickets. You can have special previews for people that bought a certain ticket option where they're in a secret group, and then you broadcast to that group. I mean, the utility of this ability is off the charts.
I'm going to jump in here because there's a couple things. First, anybody can go live on their personal page right now. On your haunt page, on your business page, you have to be Facebook verified on that page in order to go live on your mobile device. So I know a lot of haunts, yes, you have your information, you have your phone number, you have your website, but you're not verified. So make sure that you are Facebook verified on your page in order to go live. Second, this brings up a bunch of questions about the future. And there are, right now, discussions about the legal matters of going live. Because if someone is at a concert and goes live, then that person should have to pay a royalty to that performing artist for a live broadcast of said music. So it does bring up a bunch of legal questions that you will start to see within the next year or two of people probably getting sued by rights owners and music, you know, conglomerates over the rights to live broadcast. Because those are live broadcasts are protected by the government as far as Creative Works goes. So enjoy it and be careful. Because if you're going live at your haunt and you have Midnight Syndicate playing, you may have to pay for the rights to have that music broadcast. Just food for thought. But first thing, go get your page verified in order to go live on Facebook.
I can't find where that's now a requirement. I found the last requirement for that being in 2015. Regardless, either way you look at this, I guess I was looking at this more as you being able to create experiences even if it's individually. And Tyler brings up a good point of you doing it from the brand angle. But, you know, for example, you can, without a it doesn't matter whether you are verified or not, you as an individual can go live. So if you have characters in your haunt, those characters can go live in your event page that you set up for your haunted house. That can still happen. So, you know, follow Tyler's advice and go out and find, you know, get the verification for your page and also, you know, think about the legal ramifications and et cetera. But ultimately, if you're going to do some of the things they suggest on here, which, you know, is giving people a sneak peek of events and et cetera, that, I think that's a great idea. And it's not, it shouldn't be a concern, you know, like Tyler said, if there's music or et cetera that you haven't done royalties for. But otherwise, it shouldn't be a concern if you're doing a Q&A with your actors or if you're doing broadcasting from inside the haunt before it opens or, you know, walkthroughs, any of that should not be a concern.
And as a personal, personal taste of mine, don't ever go live at your haunt in an effort for advertising or marketing.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. Yeah.
Or marketing if it's not directly from the haunt page, from the business page. Because honestly, your haunt customers are not all on your friends list. Because surely you're doing more than 4,000 customers a year.
The point of that section is that you can go live in an event group and everybody who is in that event group, regardless of whether or not they are your friend, can watch the video.
Yes.
Okay, and you can go live in groups, and regardless of whether or not they are your friend, they can see you. So,
and please prohibit your actors from going live without your approval.
Yeah, that's a concern. So there are some concerns, but there are a lot of possibilities that you can use this for your haunt.
Oh yeah, the bits and the possibilities are amazing.
And the other thing too here, the other feature are the interactive features, such as the reactions and the replay comments. So you can do things and allow people to give live reactions to you so you can gauge how they're doing. And of course you can communicate with them on posting and comments and et cetera. So that is another way for you to get huge engagement with your haunt and to actually answer people's questions, whether or not they are logistics or ticket or et cetera, from doing some of these scheduled broadcasts. Now we know from Periscope and other live broadcasting platforms that, as Tyler has mentioned, you know, while it is a neat thing and it could be very useful for you, you do need to look at it from a business stance. So we know from the case studies from Periscope and et cetera, that the best things you can do in live broadcasts are to have them on a consistent basis, to announce them ahead of time, to make sure that they look nice. You know, there are lenses that you can buy for your smartphone that you clip on and it gives you a wider angle, you know, making sure that it's on a tripod and that it is in a nice background, you know, kind of doing those small but professional things to make it a better experience for those watching. The last thing I'm going to mention on here is the map, the interactive map as well, which might be which you could also leverage on your haunt. Because if people are looking at the map and you do some like a live broadcast every night from some room even in your haunt, and people can find you via the live map if you make it available. That's it. We're going to move on. The next thing I want to talk about is, let's talk about Canvas, because I think that's more important. So Facebook Canvas. Canvas is a full-screen ad experience built for bringing brands and products to life on mobile. It is specifically designed to allow you a better way to tell your brand story and promote your products on specifically mobile devices. And we know that the majority of people interact with their mobile devices over their desktop. We already know that that shift has been made. Now, this one is a little tricky, so I would recommend looking more into this and potentially using this, because I think this could be very conducive to advertising for attractions, because, again, it's a full screen experience that allows you to insert videos and pictures and make it a much more immersive experience. Now, that element of it, I think, is a lot more conducive to attractions because it allows you to set more of the story and convey the feel and the theme of your attraction versus, you know, just a banner or a single small little mini video or a picture. It tells much more of a story, and us as attraction owners, right, we have a lot more of a story to tell. We have those visual elements. You have the people, you have the excitement, you have all of these emotions that sometimes are difficult for other brands because they don't naturally have them. So we naturally have those assets, so I think Canvas can be a very powerful tool. However, it is so new that we're still a little, you know, a lot of people are a little unsure as to the best way to utilize Canvas, but there are a lot of examples out there, a lot of really interesting things.
Right, and the data is still out on it. Like you said, it is so new. There's not a lot of data to pull on, like, okay, who is seeing it? Where's it going? I personally have not seen a Canvas type ad or display on my mobile device yet, so it's obviously not out there for everyone, but I'm very confident that we will all start seeing it soon.
Yeah, I mean, their quote on here is about a company that created a Canvas with a theme of end bad gifts during 2015 holiday shopping season. They saw a 42% increase in clicks on their ad, and people who clicked into their Canvas spent an average of 12 seconds viewing the content, plus 70% of the people who clicked on the Canvas ad went to the website after exploring the Canvas ad. So there definitely are statistics here to back it up. I think this is just going to be one of those things where if you do have the budget and you have the ability to create it.
So their statistics are saying, statistics are telling me that you have a better conversion.
A much better conversion with a Canvas than with any other type of advertising that you can do on Facebook, which is kind of the point. And I agree.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, and I do agree that especially for attractions that already have, again, all of this, like all these assets that are physical assets, right? Like, people are going to be much, I think, my opinion, right, is they're going to be much more likely to engage with your haunt if they can watch this full experience and explore more of it from their mobile devices.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and you keep bringing it up, like, and I think the point should be driven that all the changes Facebook is making actually benefits attractions more than anything else, because marketing and advertising, especially with corporations, it's becoming more interactive. Well, I mean, what is more interactive than an attraction? So it's all these things are really just almost perfect for this industry, because we already have, you know, a lot of the creative already in place, the graphics already in place. It's just a matter of just getting in and, you know, either doing it yourself or hiring an agency to do it for you or whatever, you know, just taking advantage of the tools that are now coming to fruition.
Yes, I agree, Tyler. I agree. Like, you know, all these things are, Facebook doesn't want you to leave Facebook, and they are trying to come up with ways to keep you highly engaged, and that's also what we should be doing as attraction operators, is getting people highly engaged. So we've covered Canvas and we've covered live video. Let's talk about the Facebook's branded content. So this is much more on, you know, the business side, but I see potential tie-ins with attractions on this as well. So I'm just going to read the overview from their press release. Branded content is a growing and evolving part of the media landscape. On Facebook, we define this as content that features a third-party product, brand, or sponsor, i.e. the marketer. It is typically posted by media companies, celebrities, or other influencers. Verified pages, as Charlie mentioned earlier, can share branded content on Facebook as long as they follow our updated branded content policy and ads policy and use the branded content tool to tag marketers in their posts. Learn more about getting started with branded content tool. So again, this is something, if you have a brand, if you have a verified page, or if you are going to set that up, might not immediately strike you as something that attractions could be doing, But when you are thinking about your sponsorships and your partnerships, some of you out there, you know, do have a following and you do have this, you are an influencer in your area, especially during October, right? Because that's when everybody is kind of looking to you for the thing to do. So this could potentially be something you could work into your sponsorship or partnership agreements where you do some branded content where you promote partnerships you have with restaurants, with bars, you know, with other attractions in the area, and you guys work, and this is part of the story that you tell, you know, you put branded content on there and you use that as part of your partnership packages. So just want to put that out there.
You know what? This is why attraction owners should really listen to this show, because we just gave you a brand new avenue of sponsorship revenue.
Well, potentially. Again, you know, it's one of those things where I haven't seen too many people using this yet, and I know people are, but a lot of these success stories haven't kind of trickled down to my end of the woods. So I'm not sure again, but I do see an enormous potential here and in this branded content, but it is a fairly new thing. The branded content announcement is very new.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Okay, we're getting close to our time here. The last thing I want to bring up is the Facebook Instant Articles. The press release here says, today we're excited to announce Instant Articles, a new product for publishers to create fast, interactive articles on Facebook. Okay, two angles on this. It is designed for publishers. And in a nutshell, Facebook Instant Articles are articles that are on Facebook instead of being on your platform. They're on Facebook, but they load, I think it was like 7 times, 10 times faster. They load almost instantly when you're on the Facebook mobile experience, and they allow you to embed much more content. So the idea is, plus, of course, they are boosted by Facebook algorithms because they are faster and they're a better experience. And you may have seen them as the little articles that have lightning bolts next to them. That's the symbol for Instant Articles. So the you know, the premise being that you put your content onto Facebook, and then you design this immersive experience, and then Facebook, it gets higher reach and engagement with the people on Facebook, and it loads faster, so it's a better experience for the reader, and they don't have to leave Facebook. So it's for publishers, and in order for you guys to be approved, you do need to have 50 articles already ready to go, or kind of, you know, have them in your backlogs. So it may not be an angle that most attractions can really take advantage of in terms of the publishing side, but the Instant Articles allows the publisher to basically put ads within the Facebook version of the article. So that is something you guys would consider if you are looking for places locally to do advertising on. So if it's entirely possible that your local paper, for example, does Instant Articles. So it might be something that you ask, or if you're going to look at buying media this year, think of this as something to ask about. You know, if you are going to pay for an ad, is it also going to be included in Facebook Instant Articles? Or is there a way for you to sponsor for somebody to write a Facebook Instant Article about you from a local agency? You know, is there a sponsored content thing you could do with Instant Articles through a publisher that's local? Is there a way for you to attach to some of that? So just, that was my take on this for attractions, is to think about how you could maybe engage with people that are using Instant Articles.
Yeah, definitely.
Whew. Okay. did not get to all of the articles that we have on here, but that's because there's a lot changing in the landscape of Facebook. And the last thing I'm going to leave you guys with is, to that point, there's an article that we're going to link to from the Wall Street Journal, which is called The Rise of the Publishing Platform Specialist. In a nutshell, the article talks about how, since some of these platforms are getting so complicated, there is a new job title out there, which is the platform specialist. And that might be something that you, if you have a larger budget, you might consider maybe getting a consultant that is a Facebook platform specialist and going to that consultant and saying, this is our attraction, this is what we do. Can you advise us as to what we should do? You know, should we do branded content? Should we do Instant Articles, or partner with someone who does do Instant Articles? Should we do live videos? How should we do them? All of that. Because now it's an actual thing. These are, you know, there's so much changing in these landscapes so quickly that now there are people whose jobs it is, you know, just to be a platform specialist.
So I would like to talk about the future.
You do it.
All right. Well, I'm just going to have a few little predictions here for you. I mean, obviously we've talked about it before that Facebook is really changing the way people consume media and how they consume it. And I know we've both, you know, said within a couple years, Facebook is going to be the new television in regards to advertising and branding your company. Currently, you have a – well, okay, prediction number one, I guess, is will be your reach, your organic reach will decline even more than it already is. I know that seems impossible, but right now Facebook page allows you an organic reach of about 6%. I predict that it's going to drop to 2.5%. And it's because if you're going to be a business on Facebook, think of yourself as a business on television. If you want your message to get out there, you're going to have to pay for it. So that's prediction number one. Your organic reach is going to drop even further. Next is Facebook is going to start allowing people on a regular basis to shop on Facebook. We've seen this with group pages. You know, if you've ever looked at the Haunted Attraction trading forum, like the selling things, you have the ability to put up things for sale, and people can buy them directly in Facebook. Well, why couldn't you sell tickets to your attraction from your page? So this is going to become more of a thing within the next year, year and a half. Obviously, Facebook will really start to push it during the holiday season. That just makes sense on a retail basis that'll happen. But really look for that to become a thing. Next, I predict Facebook will start to become your wallet, meaning like Apple Pay or Google Wallet, Facebook will have their own version of a way to keep and manage money, pay for things digitally, and things like that. So just little things. Obviously, Facebook's pushing more videos. We've talked about the live video. You know, you're starting to see more videos come across Facebook than ever before. With that brings advertising before the videos. So just think of it as just it's just going to be Facebook trying to do YouTube. You'll start to see content channels created on Facebook for the sake of creating videos just as they would on YouTube. And in that, you will start to see advertising both before and after the videos. And you kind of see it now. Like if you've ever clicked into a video on your mobile phone and it opens up kind of a black background page and it plays the video, it automatically scrolls to the next video, which is sometimes an advertisement for like a movie trailer or a TV show or something. So that's already kind of happening. I just expect it to be more fluid with an ad playing before the videos. The only question that comes up, obviously, is if it's a private page, like if I personally put up a video and there's an ad before it, do I personally get the ad revenue? So that's the thing we have to look at. And then my last prediction is that we're going to start to see voice recognition technology on Facebook, which really has nothing to do with marketing or advertising, but it will change the way that you'd be able to post things or react to things on Facebook. And I'm sure there are people out there in the marketing and advertising world that are thinking of ways to use speech recognition technology in their marketing methods. And then we didn't even get to like 360 videos and things like that that's now on Facebook. So that's another new technology that's out there.
Well, you know, there's just not enough time to cover all the Facebook news, but we're going to have to cut it here for this week. Marketing Monday is hosted by me, Philip Hernandez, and Tyler Barnett. The show is produced by the Haunted Attraction Network. Today's episode was edited by Rachel Barnett. Chris Thomas wrote and performed our theme song. Additional music and vocals from Music Radio Creative. For show notes and to give us episode ideas, text the code Marketing Monday as one word, that's Marketing Monday, to the number 33444. To subscribe to the podcast, go to iTunes or check out our website at hauntedattractionnetwork.com. Thanks for listening.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.